am loving this music, though I'm very confused why it's on. It's time for the Aging Well Together show. We didn't get our typical theme music, so I'm not sure, and I feel really bad. That was a great... My guests and I, we're kind of like jamming a little bit in here. And so for those of you who are enjoying it, I am so sorry, but it is time to start the Aging Well Together show. Welcome. Today's show is going to be so informative. It is all about local veteran services and particularly veterans caregiver support programs. That, as you all know, if you're repeat listeners, you know I'm all about caregivers. So we're going to talk all about the services for our veterans, of which I know nothing about these programs. So I'm so excited for everything we're going to learn together. But before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. As you may know, the Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the fabulously helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday, like you're doing now, from 2 to 3. You can stream us live through WCOMFM.org. And many thanks to those of you who are streaming us. I hear we have a little group that's already listening. You can also listen to any of our previous shows, aka our fabulous podcasts, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. On the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of other helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. If you're listening to us from another state, we are in Orange County, North Carolina, not Orange County, California, or Florida, or any of the other Orange counties. If you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the show, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens today, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging at 919-968-2070, or feel free to email me. I'm happy to forward along any questions, or if you have suggestions of topics for an upcoming show, you can email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. This is where I normally give a shout out to the fabulous Robert Bradford Quartet, our theme music, but I don't know, our theme music didn't play. I really hope you'll hear it at the end of the show. I'm kind of confused of what's going on, but hopefully you will hear RBQ, as we like to call them. Our loyal listeners know that Robert Bradford Quartet was live in our studio a few weeks ago. And so if you go on the website orangecountync.gov/aging, one of our recent shows, the quartet was here and just played live, and it was amazing. And so you'll get to hear a lot more about them. Highly recommend it. So while you didn't hear the theme music, the other thing you are not hearing today is the fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed. Many of you love Alicia, as I do. You're not going to hear her on my show or her show that comes right after, Afternoon Talk with Alicia, because she is being an amazing citizen this week and next week. She is working in Orange County to help with early voting. So be sure and go vote, my friends. I didn't find out which one. I think she's at the Orange County, maybe the, I'm not sure where the site is. I don't know if she's at Seymour or Passmore or where, but I'm not going to say go vote many times, but go to many of the different precincts, go early vote, and maybe you'll have the ability to see the fabulous and famous Alicia Reed. And so we miss her, but thank her for doing that. All right, we have got to turn it over to the guests. I'm so excited, but I need to introduce myself. I am Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, I always share I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. Okay, now, Thank you for your service, my friends, who we're about to introduce. I'm so excited. We have my new best friends, and one of them is a friend I haven't seen for 20 years. We just made the connection. So I'm excited to welcome Jeff McNeil, Veteran Services Officer for Orange County, and Josh Dadoff. Did I say that right?
Yes, you sure did.
Nice. Josh is the licensed clinical social worker with the Durham VA's Caregiver Support Program. I am so excited. Josh and I also parented and had preschool children together, and now those preschool children are deep in their 20s, and so it's so fun to be back together. Welcome, Jeff and Josh.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Okay. We have a lot to get into around veteran services programs, but one thing we always like to do on the show is to just take a moment to ask a little bit about each of you, a little bit about your background and what brought you into the work you're doing now. And clearly that means veteran services. So I guess, Jeff, I'll start with you.
All right. I am a veteran, a war veteran, Desert Storm.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Army veteran, I should say. Go Army. I'm a father of three kids, one adult.
Yeah.
very adult. Also retired from the Department of Veterans Affairs, and that's the expertise I have brought with me to Orange County of Veteran Services. So I've been doing it for, over 20 years, helping veterans get their benefits.
Oh.
And I'm also the chair of the AARP Veterans Military Family Advisory Council for the state of North Carolina.
That's amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, thank you. And it feels so cliche now, but really thank you for your service. But thank you. And also, as a fellow AARP member, unfortunately, I'm not a military member, sorry. But as an AARP member, thank you for your work you're doing. And we were connected through our friend and colleague, one of our AARP state reps, Heather Burkhart.
Yes, yes.
So that's who connected us. Well, welcome. Lot for you to tell us about.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, my old friend.
It's great to see you again. And I can't wait to hear what Sydney's up to these days. But thank you for having us. So I am Josh Dadoff. I am, as you said, a licensed clinical social worker. I am with the Caregiver Support Program, more specifically the Program of General Caregiver Support Services at the Durham VA. I've been with that program for about 11 years now. Holy cow. But I've been with the VA since 99. I started in outpatient mental health and did that for a while, transitioned over to the homeless program, where we were working in a program called HUD-VASH, doing community outreach and helping to house homeless veterans, and then transitioned over to caregiver support. I am not a veteran myself. I am the son of a World War II Navy veteran. So service to veterans is very important to me. It hits deep, and I feel very lucky and privileged to be in this position.
Yeah, well, I feel lucky and privileged to have you both here. I am ridiculously ignorant when it comes to veteran services, and I tried to school myself a few months ago with a friend that was looking into information, and I gotta say, I got really confused, especially for those who served but didn't serve during combat time, and there's all these differences. So I think I'll turn to you, Jeff, first to kind of give us a general overview about what does it mean to be a veteran services officer when someone walks in and say, hey, I was a veteran, what now?
Well, it can be challenging when you go to the internet or the VA website and see fill out form 214138, fill out form 526EZ, and what does this mean? And they all have 9 pages of directions. And you
that's
don't
what
know
I did. I started
where
clicking,
to start.
Clicking.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to see what this person may be eligible for, and it just went on and on.
It can go on. So that's what the Veterans Service Office will provide with you, some guidance in what you should be doing. What confuses people is that there's 3 parts of the Department of Veterans Affairs. There's the Veterans Benefit Administration, Then there's the Veterans Healthcare Administration, which
I'm writing this down,
which Josh works for. And then there's the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did you just say the cemetery?
I did say the cemetery.
I wish Alicia was here, because there's always a point, and this started early in the show, where we start writing things, we look at each other. Okay, so those three things, and I got the cemetery, I got the health benefits.
And the benefit administration.
So benefit administration, health affairs.
Healthcare.
I'm just going to stop repeating things since I'm right. Okay. And then those are the three. And then where do you come in? Because I know when we were emailing a little bit beforehand, who do you work for? Are you part of the VA?
I do not work for the VA. I work for the good people of Orange County.
Ah.
So when you're accredited VSO, you link people and give guidance to people on how to connect with the VA. So we are able to go into the VA website, look up people's files, upload them, advocate for them, and process claims for them. So it is very important to go to your veteran service officer to get the right guidance, because if you do something the wrong way or it's not said the right way, then your claim ends up in appeals, mm-hmm. and that can be a very long wait.
Interesting. So both you and I are connected to Orange County government.
Yes.
Right? So I'm Orange County Department on Aging is who sponsors this show, and I've been connected. And so that, because I know you told me to ask that question, do you work for the Department of VA? And I thought, well, who do you work for? You work for Orange County government. And so you can help people understand all three of those benefits, health, cemetery. Those right, three. Right. I did the simplicity since I would mess up the second words. Okay. All right. So I feel like we're going to come back to you in a moment, but I want to share the mic time. I don't want to confuse listeners. But so that's Jeff. He's your local person here in Orange County. Josh, you're over in Durham. Tell us about your world.
Correct. So I work at the Durham VA. The Durham VA covers a pretty huge catchment area, you know, all the way north to Virginia, all the way east to the coast, all the way west to kind of Greensboro area, south to Fayetteville area. So between the Durham VA, a number of Raleigh community-based outpatient clinics, the Greenville Healthcare Center, and the Moorhead City Healthcare Center, we, you know, kind of cobble together a network of support that stems from, I guess, under the umbrella of the Durham VA.
Durham VA. Now that is, and just because we're having this conversation, that is literally part of the Department of Veterans Affairs world.
Correct. The clearly. VHA, the Veterans Health Administration.
Yes. And for fun, here at Aging Well Together, we love disclaimers. And so you're both connected to government. I know Jeff has his own, you know, because you're a government official with Orange County, there are things, but I know that you wanted to be specifically clear that, did you want to do your disclaimer or should I do it for you? I have it. It's really fun.
I'll welcome you to go ahead and do it for me.
So even though Josh is here representing the Durham VA healthcare system, Josh is sharing his own opinions and not reflective of, well, there's too many initials, DVA, Durham, or VA as a whole. So basically, Josh is here sharing his expertise and wisdom of over 20 years, and he's sharing information, but not an official spokesperson. Is that what we're supposed to say?
Sure.
You're in the clear, Jeff.
I think that covers it, and I'll just say I'm wearing my social work hat today, and I just happen to be practicing social work at the Durham VA.
That's wonderful, and I'm really glad that you shared that, because we've had a number of social workers here and other helping professions, because so much of what we like to talk about here at Aging Well Together, and it's my selfishness as well, caregivers, because I am one myself, and how we support older adults, those of us who are older adults ourselves, those of us who are sharing caregiving and loving with older adults. So tell us about what kinds of services are provided through the caregiving program, and then we'll go back and talk more generally.
Okay. So first and foremost, there is a program like mine at every VA nationally. Mm-hmm. So there is caregiver support available to any friend or family caregiver of a veteran being served through their local VA. I work primarily with informal caregivers or friend and family caregivers, and so these are unpaid friend or family members who are committed to helping their veteran loved ones stay at home, which is where they prefer to be, for as long and as safely as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Can I, and I'll interrupt because
sure.
give you a second, because as we were already talking about the confusion on the website. I looked at some of the information. When it says informal and you say family, like, it could it be a spouse?
Absolutely.
Or are there rules of like who classifies as an informal caregiver?
So the rules are they can be a spouse or an adult child of mm-hmm. a veteran loved one, or a sibling or other relative of a veteran loved one, or a significant other, or a friend, mm-hmm. or other close person in their life. They have to be 18 or older. And the veteran, of course, has to consent to that person being partially responsible for their care and well-being.
Okay. And so they come. And then how do they find you? And maybe, Jeff, this is a good time to bring you in. Do people walk into your office and say, hey, I need help? And then do you link them up with Josh? Or what happens then?
That's when it becomes more of a guidance thing. So if it's benefits, I can help them start from the beginning to the end. If it's VHA, which is healthcare, and I've sent plenty of people to do the caregiving program, I send them over to give them the caregiver number, and they call and start their claim there.
Got it. So that's more of a referral.
Yes.
So we'll continue with caregiver programs. Then I want to come back to the benefits. So it's a different claims process. You don't have to do your benefits claim if it's caregiver. You hear what their needs are, and then you send them to is the Durham VA the local, like someone in Orange County, is that where they would go? Or are there multiple VA health systems that are closer? I've only known about the Durham VA, so.
So the Durham VAMC, which the MC part is the medical center.
Yes.
The Durham VAMC have a bunch of outpatient centers. But okay. to get started in most things, you have to go to the main hospital, which is the Durham VAMC in Durham.
Okay. So I've come to Jeff and I say, I need help with my mother, who is a veteran. And he said, well, let me introduce you to Josh. So then I come to you, Josh. And then what happens?
Yeah. So we would have a conversation basically about what the care needs are and what the needs of the caregiver are, and they might be very different from what the veteran identifies. Caregiving is certainly a kind of around-the-clock commitment and certainly challenging role to be in. So we like to engage in a conversation about what are the caregiver's needs, what are the veteran's needs, and then see how best we can serve them with supportive services and resources to help them be their best caregiving selves.
Mm-hmm.
And so within the VA, within the caregiver support program, there are two primary branches mm-hmm. of that program. The first is the Program of General Caregiver Support Services, or PGCSS.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's the program that I represent.
Okay.
And the PGCSS.
That's the best one. Okay, now.
More
letters. Let's try to get Josh in trouble. Hi, Josh's colleagues who Great. We know are listening in. I'm going to try to have a few gotcha moments.
Yeah,
no,
I can
not.
Get in enough trouble all by myself.
All right, so tell us about the PGCSS.
So the PGCSS.
And what does that stand for?
It's Program of General Caregiver Support Services.
Okay.
And so assuming that the veteran consents to designating a caregiver and the caregiver is over the age of 18 and an appropriate provider of that support, we would invite them to enroll.
Mm-hmm.
And we would then connect them up with the supportive services and resources that we offer. And so through the PGCSS, we offer support in the form of training and education, counseling related to the natural stress and strain that often accompanies this very challenging role,
mm-hmm.
socialization opportunities, because caregiving can be a really, really lonely role as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of different programs that we offer throughout the year, both virtually and in person. There's a program called Building Better Caregivers, which is an online caregiver support program where they can learn different tools and skills and strategies for being a caregiver. And then when they graduate from this program, they join or are invited to join an online network of caregivers to support one another. There's AnyText, which is a text program. It's not interactive, but they sign up for targeted texts each week related to specific challenges that they might face, whether it's taking care of their own healthcare needs mm-hmm. or specific tools and tips for dealing with diagnosis-specific caregiving, like if they're caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's mm-hmm. disease or post-traumatic stress disorder. They get these regular encouraging texts, mm-hmm. Tips and tools and strategies, or just words of encouragement. There's a program called REACH VA, and REACH is another acronym that the VA is so famous for.
All right, what does this stand for?
So REACH stands for Resources for Enhancing All Caregivers' Health.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a good one. We like that. Me and Jeff and Nani, we're like,
I like that.
Wait till you hear about caregivers first.
Nope.
So REACH VA offers both group and one-on-one individual coaching. Also, diagnosis specific, so around issues specific to Parkinson's or PTSD or multiple sclerosis or dementia. And these are targeted coaching sessions to teach caregivers skills and tools and strategies to help help them help themselves be mm-hmm. their best caregiving self, take care of themselves while taking care of another person. We have caregiver health and well-being coaching, which is one-on-one coaching to, again, reinforce the importance of taking care of the person who is taking care of everybody else.
That's great.
We have SAVE training, and SAVE is another acronym.
What does SAVE stand for?
SAVE stands for Signs, Ask, Validate, Encourage, and Expedite. And this is around the crucial target of preventing veteran suicide.
Okay, okay.
And so this provides caregivers with tools and resources to identify the signs, to help them be more comfortable having that conversation, which is such a tough conversation to have, mm-hmm. to ask somebody if they're thinking about harming themselves or. Mm-hmm. So this provides them with resources and supports to learn to identify the signs, learn to help have conversations and connect their veterans with the essential care that they need to prevent veteran suicide. There's PTSD 101, which is a group that is specific for friends and family of veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder to help them learn to identify the signs and the symptoms that typically accompany PTSD, to help them with communication skills and emotion regulation and self-care. And you'll hear me say self-care over and over again because it's kind of a common theme with our caregivers. They spend so much of their time and energy taking care of others that they neglect their own health care. They don't go to their own appointments. They forget their own medications. They don't sleep. They don't eat. They're just so focused on
others. I resemble that remark. Mm. Yes, yep. I know that well.
It's a common dilemma of the caregiver. And then there's peer support mentoring, where we have, it's kind of a two-pronged approach. Caregivers who are new to the role or who are otherwise struggling in their role can be paired with a trained and seasoned peer mentor, mm-hmm. A caregiver who has walked a similar mile in the shoes that these caregivers are walking mm-hmm. in, and can kind of reach back and say, I've been there, let me help you, you know, through this with some things that I learned along the way. The flip side of that is the caregivers who are feeling confident and capable in their role often want to, because they're caregivers, they want to help their fellow caregivers. Mm-hmm. They want to reach back and help a new or otherwise struggling caregiver. So we have mentors and mentees, and we are now starting a peer facilitated support group that's going to meet face to face this coming year.
I love that. And some of us start a radio show. Some of us who want to help others.
And maybe we can get our peers some radio time.
There you go.
Actually, that would be really wonderful. And funny, I was thinking we're doing this now. We should re-air this show in November around Veterans Day. Really, we should do it all the time. I mean, this is so important. But that would be a great show.
So I have a question for you, Josh, if I may. Veterans of the World War II era that's still around who... it wasn't time to file a claim, or they're not a part of the system, the VA system, per se, in the benefits. They're not at 70%. Some of the kids are older than you and I, mm-hmm. and they do not know how to get into the system, period. I guess for me, I don't know if it's a question or more of a idea that we cover World War II veterans, and you know, as they're aging out, it's not but a few left that we automatically cover them. I have a I'm not going to mention her name, veteran who's 105 years old.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So his daughter is in her 70s. She's the caregiver. She needs to go out for surgery with a bad knee, and there's a cost for that. There's no going to fill in her spot. So, you know, I would like to see them just automatically cover these World War II veterans, if nothing else. And as they age out, grab a hold of the Vietnam veterans.
Well, that brings up a question for me. It's about who's eligible for the caregiver support program. And so is there that, when you say 70%, I saw that somewhere. What does that mean, 70%? And what does eligibility mean for the caregiver program?
I'll let you take the eligibility part, and then I'll talk about the caregiver support program.
This is fun. Right. And I told the guys, since they were meeting the guys, so I was like, feel free to ask each other questions, because this is great. All right.
So 70% is a disability rating. So whatever your disability was rated at by the VA, so you can have as little as 0%.
Like you have no disability would be 0%?
You can have a disability that is rated like hearing, that's 0%.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that makes you service connected, but not getting any financial.
Oh, so it's a service connected. So, but if it's the, if okay, so if the disability rates at 70% and it's service connected,
right? You getting a higher rating. You get higher standards at the VA, which I think anyone with a service connection should be rated high. And I know care comes differently with that higher rating because you have more severe things going on. But 70% is the threshold for the caregiver program.
All right. And thoughts, Josh? And again, we're going to try to get Josh in trouble. We're like, yeah, let's cover more. So, yeah. Josh, agree with that. Go on. So to answer Jeff's question.
Yeah. So that brings me to the other branch of caregiver support. Remember I said there were two?
I've seen the handout. Go on.
So the other branch of caregiver support is, get ready for another long acronym.
I'm ready.
PCAFC.
These don't mean anything. I like the REACH one. I like SAVE.
Yeah.
All right.
So PCAFC stands for the Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers.
Oh.
And this encompasses all of the supportive services and resources that I just mentioned, as well as enhanced respite care benefit support, the potential for eligibility for health insurance. For example, if you left a job to stay home and take care of your veteran loved one and your health insurance was tied to that job and you're now without health insurance or income, you may be eligible for CHAMP VA benefits under this program. And then a monthly stipend related to the level of care and hands-on support that a veteran requires to stay safe at home. And that's determined by a multi-step clinical and administrative eligibility process that once they call us, they will have a social worker like myself who will guide them through all of those steps and help make sure that they get connected with supportive services and resources that they're eligible for and in need of.
Mm-hmm. And CHAMP VA is the medical care for civilians. So my kids can receive CHAMP VA. It's like an insurance.
Oh, is that like
TRICARE.
When I see the commercials? So by civilians, you mean there's some connect. They are not in the military service, but their families were.
Right,
Is that like, what's the
USAA?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's not that type of insurance,
right?
Got it. Okay, but that's the connection.
But that's
so
the connection.
So if your family member was in it. Okay.
If you are at 100% disability rating, you're eligible for CHAMP VA. So the importance of his program, what he is saying is they're doing that for people who are caring for the veteran. They're allowing them to be a part of the CHAMP VA system.
So the big picture takeaway, gentlemen, if I'm saying this correct, is that if you are a veteran, if you're caring for a veteran, there's a few different caregiver. There's at least two different caregiver services that you should come and have a conversation. You may be eligible for services for yourself as a caregiver. Does it also include services for your loved ones? So when you talked about socialization and support, that's for the caregiver. What about, are there programs directly, adult aid programs, or are these are paying for folks, their caregivers to take care of their, I'm just going to stop talking, but you see what I'm saying, for the person themselves.
Yeah, so for the, if you mean for the veteran themselves.
For the veteran themselves,
yeah.
Yes.
So we are focused primarily on the friend or family caregiver. So through the VA and through the veterans' health care that they receive, they have access to recreation therapy, occupational
yes. okay.
therapy, you know, adult day health, homemaker home health aid services, if that's needed. So they're
getting the services. This is for the caregiver.
Correct.
Do you ever have a situation where a caregiver comes to you and their loved one isn't getting services? Like either, like they just call up and say, hey, my husband was in the military, or by that point they would have already been in the system.
Yeah, so they might call us, and their veteran is not connected with VA healthcare,
mm-hmm.
or maybe, you know, has never applied for veterans benefits, and that's where we would kind of link arms with the local veteran service officer to make sure that the veteran is connected up with the eligibilities that they deserve, and then we would get them registered for care
mm-hmm.
At the VA, and then we can talk about what supportive services or resources we can provide their caregiving loved one.
Okay, that's great. And that's actually probably a good segue. I know we stayed on that for a while. I didn't want to confuse the listeners. I was like, you know what, let's just do a deep dive into the caregiver supports. And now let's kind of go and start big picture at the top for the individual themselves or their family members about this issue of benefit. So they walk into Jeff. And then, Jeff, what do you do on those three issues?
So,
I remember them, benefits, health, cemetery.
Right. So most people are there to see me about the benefits or education benefits or VA loan benefits, but mostly for their disability benefits.
Ah.
As you can see, certain levels of percentage gives you more access to more things from the VA.
And who determines that? Is it your doctor? I'm just going to keep going. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, you're fine.
Because I'm already having an issue with that. I feel like it's 80%, but it only got rated at 60%. Do you have, since 70 is such an important threshold, do you have, he's shaking his head like,
I hear
yes,
that very
day?
Often,
okay.
Every day. It's determined by the laws. So we're guided by federal regulations and laws.
Mm-hmm.
What does that law say about your disability? Say, your knee. My knee may hurt extremely
yeah.
horribly every day. To me, I feel like that should be 100%
yeah,
rated.
Yeah, because that is affecting my quality of life and everything I do.
About it.
And what would it actually get the rating?
But what does the doctor say about it? How much is it really affecting you? What's the threshold for the injury? How high can we rate this? So the laws will say, say it swells twice a day or twice a week,
oh, wow.
you get a certain percentage.
Okay.
Say it swells all the time, and you can prove that with your diagnosis from your doctor or the VA doctor, and that's another higher percentage. So percentage is usually how severe and how frequent.
Okay.
So how do you do a claim? So they come see me.
Mm-hmm.
I ask them about, do you have a diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a diagnosis, Jeff. So the next thing is to say, how is this connected to your service?
Yeah, there's a lot of steps here. Okay, go on. I can see.
So I got out in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
We was taught to be men and not complain.
Yep.
So I never mentioned this. I never went to sick call. I never did this. I hear that a lot. Especially
yeah.
from my older veterans, that they frowned upon to go to sick call.
Yeah.
What's sick call? Is that?
I hurt my knee. I need to go to see the doctor.
The doctor. Okay.
Yeah.
Even when they were in the service? Or
yes.
when they got, I was like, all these terms.
Yes.
So even when you're out of the service, they'll still call it sick call, or they'll just use that. All right, go on.
Yes. So, and then they get treated after service. And then they find out, when I failed that time, I should have went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find that link between your service and what's happening now is the key to getting a favorable rating.
And that's got to be hard, because if you come out of the service in 72 and then almost 50 years have gone by, and they could they say, well, that's just general age-related, you know, that's from all those marathons you ran in the 80s and 90s. I mean, is there that kind of a...
Like, it is, and they're doing a better job with educating the newer veterans.
Okay.
On taking care of yourself, reporting your injuries, because it will catch up. When I speak to, I think I spoke to the young ROTC students over here at Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
They were doing a Habitat for Humanity down the street there.
Nice.
I told them, you feel great now, and you can brush it off. You can brush it off today, but later it may catch up with you. So don't be afraid to go to sick call and report whatever's going on with you. So
yes, your 75-year-old self will thank you if you sort of keep track of what's happening to your body. Okay.
Indeed.
Your 40-year-old self will thank you.
I know, right? You're 53. So they come to you. The first thing is you help them figure out...
The diagnosis, the service record. Sometimes it just will say something in your service records about your injury that you might not even remember. So the VA will go back and search that and try to find it in the records. If it is, they'll send out for an exam. Most of the VA exams are done at contractors now do it. And if, just like I was saying before, whatever the doctor says, that'll be what they base it on when the raters back at the VA, Department of Veterans Affairs Benefit Administration Office, we'll make that decision. And decide what rating that they deserve based on the medical evidence and the law. And that was my old job back at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Was figuring out. And I'm just, is 70% the gold standard of when things open up to? Are there ever people that like come in at 69% and they're like, what?
No, it is. It's always going to be on the tens or five tens. 70%.
All right, so if they get 60 or 65%, I'm sure is when you get a lot of pushback. And you're looking at me like, yes, I do.
So VA math is what really riles people up. The VA math is not regular math. So
you can be math, yeah.
You can be at 70%. A lot of guys come in, I'm 70%, but it says I have this for 50, this for 30, this for 20. I'm 150%. What is wrong with them?
It's each diagnosis has a different percentage. Is that why?
Yes.
So if your knee have an issue and your heart has an issue and your...
It does. And then it's the combination of those things that can make that either a higher, a combination of two bad knees could make your 70%. They could rate it 20%. But in VA math, that's two knees, so it's only 5%.
Oh, I don't like any of this. Yeah, I actually just heard this term. I don't want to say anything because it'll come out like I heard the term a few weeks ago, like, was like girl math or shopping math, and it was like, well, it was $100, but it usually is $200, so that means I saved $100, so I bought it. So I heard this whole term of like math. So VA math, little complicated there.
A little complicated. So
and then you're both the educator, are you also the bearer of complicated news?
I am the bearer of complicated news.
I don't want to say bad news. I'm not making a judgment on it, but...
It can be complicated.
Okay.
You know, and I try to be very upfront with the veterans because of my experience at the VA. I have a pretty good idea what's going to pass the smell test. So I advise them on how to improve their case as best as I can and how to make it a little stronger before you submit it. And to prevent getting into that appeals world.
I was just speaking with a family about it for a medical update for other like insurance purposes. And you don't want to lie, you don't want to manipulate things, but as you were saying, people are taught not to complain, and individuals always want to present themselves in their best light. Well, yeah, I can walk 10 feet, or sure, I sometimes can dress myself, because I've talked to some folks who they really struggle quite a bit, but their pride. And so when the nurse is assessing them, and it's actually not a truthful assessment because they don't want to share. And a colleague told me, said, you're actually describing your worst day, not your best day. Because we all want to talk about, right? Well, yeah, I can sometimes do this. But it's like, well, for these, we want an accurate of what kind of support. So you're actually describing your worst day, because you generally have your... So anyway, this whole idea of really sharing, and it's probably extra hard for veterans who were taught not to complain and just deal with it and get back out there. And so to really be honest about their struggle, I'm sure, is hard.
It's interesting you said that, because I made the same point to a veteran struggling with PTSD before I got here at the Seymour Center, where I'm at on Thursdays,
nine to three.
Yes. He wanted to increase his PTSD, and I was explaining to him about what you just said, that, you know, you need to talk about how you feel bad, express that, you know, your worst day. We know you're going to have good days here and there, but the examiners take that good day and leave out that bad day.
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about how you really feel, because even though you're not in that crisis moment, and tomorrow you still have PTSD, it's still affecting you.
Yeah, it's coming there. It's why I would think, as we look at our licensed clinical social worker, Josh, it's why they ask questions like, in the last 2 weeks, have you felt like this? I like those sort of conversations that are really getting it out, as opposed to, how do you feel right now? Or if two out of the three times, just because I was with a gentleman the other day who really struggles with buttoning his shirt. And, you know, he's lovely, but he's like, sometimes I can button it, but most of the time I can't button my shirt. I'm like, well, then you're going to want to share that. And also, let's get you shirts without buttons, but that's a whole other. So people come with you. So that's the first step. They come, you have them get assessed, they get their diagnosis and their score. And then what happens with their benefits process?
3 to 6 months, you get...
3 to 6 months, okay.
You'll get an answer, and that's when the VA is not backlogged.
Yeah.
Okay.
You may get an answer. So I tell veterans, first of all, when they come to the office, it's about how much I can listen. Mm-hmm. So I listen to what they have to say and how they want to say it before I just give all my expertise information.
Okay.
So it's important to listen, and it takes time. Everybody, there's only one of me, so there's a lot of veterans here.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I forgot to tell you, and I miss Alicia, we always like to have our fun facts and sexy statistics part of the show. How many veterans, well, if you know, do you guys know how many veterans do we have here in Orange County? How many do we have locally? Whatever stats you may know, which I did not ask you to bring, so. Right.
Well, I reached out to the VA before I came, because they was here, for an event I put on at the American Legion yesterday.
Excellent. You are prepared for this.
It was between... No, they didn't have... They didn't get back with me with the new numbers.
Okay.
But before, it was 6,500 to 7,000.
We had 6,500 to 7,000 veterans where?
In Orange County.
Oh, in Orange County.
That's those who are actually participating.
So those who have received, so 6,500 to 7,000 veterans who are eligible for benefits in Orange County. Is that a fair way to put that?
No, ma'am.
No, okay.
All who right. are...
No, okay.
Who are participating in the VA. So there's several
who are participating.
That's not eligible, that we don't know about, who are not coming out, or who feel like they're healthy enough they don't need the VA. So
that are currently... That's a lot of people. Orange County is big, but it's not that big. 7,000 people who are currently participating, and there could be a lot more who are eligible. They're just not participating.
And those are numbers that don't include spouses, that don't include dependents, just veterans.
Whoa.
So the number could be far more north of that. Mm-hmm.
Josh, did you have any statistics you feel like sharing that I've not prepared you to have to share?
So the only statistic that I have to share, because I wasn't prepared, is that at the Durham VA with the Caregiver Support Program, we are serving right now approximately 1,200 enrolled caregivers of veterans.
Great.
And that really is just the tip of the iceberg of what exists in our catchment area, which, of course, includes Orange County, because, like Jeff was saying...
That's a big number of caregivers, 1,200.
And again, still just the tip of the iceberg. So we're trying to do pretty extensive outreach. We do a number of community events throughout the years. We try and go to stand-down events and come on radio shows and try and talk about our program and about the resources that the VA has to offer our veterans in the hopes that... word gets out and people come in and access the care that they have earned, that they deserve.
Yeah, which actually, by doing that, means that there's the capacity to serve more caregivers.
Correct.
Right? Because you could say, look, we've got a wait list, but so the fact that you're doing active outreach means that if more people come, you have the capacity to serve them.
Correct.
Okay.
And the obligation, really, to serve them, the responsibility to serve them.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So going back, because I know there's a few other details, we've got a good 10 minutes left to talk about some of the specifics, because Jeff, when you and I were emailing about, you're like, make sure to ask about this. So when people come in and they start a claim, there's all these specific stuff, like you were talking about power of attorney and these kinds of other documents. Like, what is the process? So what happens after 3 to 6 months? So they've kind of tell us where we are in the process of filing a claim.
To go back, when they first see me as a accredited VSO. Veteran Service Officer. Okay. You have to have their permission to be able to first help them file a claim and to say, hey, Jeff, how's my claim going? Mm-hmm. Well, that power of attorney, which sounds very intimidating, is a form we call VA Form 21-22. And that just gives me the ability to look in the claim and help
give you the information. Oh, so you're the power of attorney. They make you the power. This is why, because I was like, who's your power of attorney? It's literally they're giving you the power of attorney to go and do all this fact finding.
Right, correct.
That makes sense. Okay.
So from there, I can go in and help them more. So it takes a couple of days for me to submit that, for it to get into the system. Mm-hmm. And then I can look at their file and give them a better idea of what and how I can help them. But some people come very prepared. I have these medical documents. I downloaded from UNC Healthcare or Durham Healthcare.
Got it.
Can you re-roll?
If they don't sign over a power of attorney, that means they have to do all that fact-finding on their own. So some people have already done it where they, okay,
Some APOC personalities that come in and say, I want to show you this, and you can tell me if this is correct.
Okay, good.
And that's all I'm doing for them. I can explain them how it goes, that this looks good,
great,
you're on the right track, and they go home and they upload it to the VA.gov, which you can do it yourself, upload it on the VA.gov website.
But you can help. So for folks who are like, nope, I want your help. They sign a power of attorney. They're like, Jeff, start digging for me and find this information. Okay. So then what happens?
So they usually come back. So a lot of the business is repeat business, where it's not just going to be one time you see me 6 months later, it's done. They're going to come back with more information. Okay, I need to follow up with them on knowing about, okay, they'll be helpful if you can get that record from UNC Help. So there's another form that allows the VA to grab medical documentations for you. But if you bring it, then you're taking that 3 to 6 months and slimming that time down a whole lot.
So you can help them. All right.
All right.
And then filing, is that the same as filing a claim? Because first they're okay, because I don't know what gets them in the system and then when they can start filing a claim. Because I've been talking about long-term care insurance for the last few days with people, it's like first you have to get through eligibility, da-da-da, and then you start filing claims. How does it work with the VA?
I advise them to have everything together.
Okay.
And then we can send the claim in, and that starts the claim.
But they have to wait the 3 to 6 months they get the permission?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
That starts immediately. We can file the claim the same day.
Oh.
If they have everything in place. If you don't have everything in place, there's forms that allow the VA to go out for your medical records from the VA, go out for your medical private records. It just makes that 3 to 6 months.
Got it. And we had talked about the question, what makes a claim a good claim for disability benefits?
Diagnosis.
Because they walked in because they're going to need that. We know they're going to need that percentage. They walk in and they say, okay, here's my diagnosis. Mm-hmm.
You just can't say my knee hurts.
Okie dokie.
What is it about your knee?
I have osteo blah, blah, blah.
There you go.
Yes. Okay.
I have flat feet. I have plantar fasciitis, all that good stuff. A diagnosis and a connection, a service.
Okay.
How does this? Oh, I went to sick call when I was in the military. I was in a car accident when I was in the military. I served in Vietnam, so I'm eligible for the PACT Act.
Wait, what did you just say?
Pack that.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, that should be a whole call in itself.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. Yeah. That's
okay, what does that at least stand for? Pack that? All right. You're both looking at me like, no, we're not discussing it. Okay.
We don't want to go there. But
okay. So it's something that happened.
It's some stuff that is...
It's a service-related injury.
Diseases that's presumptive now. That they made it presumptive that you don't have to have all the medical documentation. If you was in, say, it's Vietnam like
Agent
that
Orange
time, Agent Orange,
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
then
I
you're
watch
good to
a
go.
Lot of TV. Yeah. Okay. That's all right. Sorry, we got interesting here. All right, so then, okay.
That's its own segment.
So then they file their claim. What and then for people who come in and they say, "I have a disability. I was a veteran. I have a disability, but it's not service related. It just." And they were in combat. I mean, it just, what happens then? Do you ever have that where people come in and say, I was a veteran, I served in this war, but I'm struggling now and there are issues that aren't service related? I mean, I guess for some of the caregiver support programs, it doesn't have to be, if it's Alzheimer's, that's not service related.
Right, in terms of accessing caregiver support and caregiver support services, particularly through the program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers, they just need to be service connected at 70% or higher. But it doesn't have to be service connected for the very thing that they are asking for a caregiver for. Was that was probably horrible English, but
I think I got it. They still need to have a disability that was service connected. But, like, that's not the Alzheimer's situation, because that wouldn't be service-connected for many of them.
Right, not necessarily, but they would still potentially qualify for the program if they had a clinical need for a caregiver and they were 70% service-connected for any reason or greater.
Okay.
They could potentially be eligible for the PCAFC.
Yeah, I think what I'm looking for, and maybe it just doesn't exist, is people who... Because this is where those of us who are civilians, we just think, well, if you were in the military and you were in a war, you know, you're a veteran and you have the services, but there still has to be a service-related situation for them to access.
Well, you,
the
if you're
you
a
can't
veteran,
just say, hey, I'm a veteran.
No. If you qualify as a veteran, you can go to the VA healthcare system.
Correct.
Got it. It's just some of these special programs.
And the disability benefits.
The disability benefits and when those kick in. Got it. Josh, and I know your friends are listening, and they're like, why is she not getting it? Because I'm, like most people, we don't get
it's
also because I'm not part of the system.
It's really complicated.
So, and I have heard some talks, and I need to just pay attention more because there are, I guess, the moral of the story, we have just a few minutes left, is that people should reach out to both of you because it's really, it is complex, but you'd hate it. I'd hate to think that people are eligible for something and they're not taking advantage of it, that they're not aware of it.
So exactly.
So I think that's the takeaway, that you and your loved ones may be eligible for something and maybe you want to reach out. So let's take a quick moment to tell people how they can find out more. So Josh, I'll start with you.
All right. So, they can speak to their veteran service officer and the VSO will reach out to us and say, hey, so-and-so just came into my office and the veteran and their spouse, you know, are interested in caregiver support. And then we would reach out and call them. They can call us directly. And I'll
feel free to give the number, folks. Yeah, get a piece of paper.
Everybody get
a pen
and a piece of paper because I got a lot of numbers.
Okay.
So they can call us directly at the Maine Medical Center, which is 919-286-0411.
Okay.
And then the extension for the caregiver support program is 176068.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's say it one more time. That's
so,
a lot.
919-286-0411, extension 176068.
Okay.
And that's the caregiver support program.
Excellent.
They can also email us at Durham Caregiver Support, all one word, @va.gov. They can ask their primary care doctor at the VA to place a consult for caregiver support. They can go online to www.caregiver.va.gov to learn more about the program. With the application for the Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers on that website. And then the last thing, and I know I don't want to hog all of the remaining time, but the Caregiver Support Line mm-hmm. is a national program that is directly tied to the Durham VA. The Caregiver Support Line number is toll-free at 855-260-3274. It's not a 24/7 hotline. It is Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., and on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And they can provide information, education, and supportive services related to caregiving, brief supportive counseling, problem solving related to caregiving, general information about VA resources, and of course a referral to their local caregiver support program. So wherever they are in the country, if they call that number, they are going to, the folks at the Caregiver Support Line are going to reach out to that home VA, reach out to somebody like me, and then I'm going to call them and say, hey, I heard you called the Caregiver Support Line. Let me help you.
I love this.
And then there's a ton of other services and supports through the Caregiver Support Line that I could hog up until 3:30 or quarter to 4.
I know. And so what we'll do is I'll have you and Jeff, and Jeff will do your stuff in just a moment. You'll email it to me. So if for folks missed any of that, I can only put a little bit on the website, but you can always email the agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, and I'll forward the information. All right, and Jeff, if they need you, how do they reach you and the Veterans Services, as the Veterans Services Officer of the Veterans Services Office?
Very easily. You go to your Orange County Veterans Services website, which is connected under the Orange County website, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You will go to Florida and New York and other areas if you don't put that NC in there. My office number is 919-245-2890. The cell number is 919-748-1536. The best way to reach me is email.
Okay.
jmcneill@orangecountync.gov. And the reason why that's the best way to reach me, I am really one person, and hopefully we can add more veteran service officers or an administrator as we go along with the new budget. But I am usually in with a veteran or researching information for the veteran who just left the office. So I try to give everybody their due one at a time. So please exercise patience with me. I will try to get back with you as soon as I can. So if you need me faster, jmcneill@orangecountync.gov, the email is the quickest way to get me.
Oh, this was so helpful. There's so much to learn. Thank you both so much. Everyone, thank you. Jeff McNeil, Veterans Service Officer for Orange County, and Josh Dadoff with a social worker with the Durham VA's Caregiver Support Program. Y'all are wonderful. Thank you, really, for everything you do. And to our wonderful listeners, thank you for staying tuned with us, and listen up next week. And I think we do have the music to play us out. We'll be right back.